practical meditation. And my understanding is that some of you have actually taken intentional time to meditate on Scripture since then. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you took intentional time to meditate on Scripture between last week and this week. And just know this, God is watching. Okay, how many of you took intentional time to meditate on Scripture between last week and this week? Raise your hand. Well done. Good job. Good job. I'm proud of you. Well done. I mentioned last week also that I've written some books on these topics, and this book, Experiencing Life and Power Through Biblical Meditation, and I explained that this book is available on Amazon. You can buy it for, I think it's like $15 on Amazon, but you can also order it. Some of you ordered it last week. You can order it this week, and we'll have it to you by next week. The deal is that I had a supply, but we moved, and now they're somewhere in the garage. By faith, they're somewhere in the garage. This is the only copy I have. This is my personal copy, and it ain't for sale, okay? This morning, I'm going to be sharing on biblical prayer, and we're going to be talking about the Lord's Prayer. And many of you have a copy of this book, Living Prayer, The Lord's Prayer Alive in You. It's the first book that I wrote. If you would like a copy, we also have them available. We actually have them in stock right in the building this morning. Again, $10 a piece. They're normally $79. No, they're normally, I think it's $16, $17, something like that. And then this is the most recent book I've written called Strengthen Your Prayer Life, and we have copies of it available back here as well. The last book is I've learned a lot of things about prayer from biblical people. And I thought, man, I want to communicate what I've learned from biblical people about prayer. And so what I did is I built a podcast studio in my brain, and I invited these biblical people into my podcast studio, and I interviewed them, and this is the script of my interviews with, for example, the Apostle James, Mary and Martha, a bunch of other people there, and so that's what that is. So this morning, I have the opportunity and the responsibility to share about biblical prayer in 39 minutes or whatever it's going to be. How do you do that? Good grief! How in the world do you take stuff about all that the Bible says about prayer and say, here you go? Well, you just don't. You just can't cover everything in prayer in a few minutes, or about prayer in a few minutes. So what I decided it would be good to do is to go to what I consider to be the most meaningful prayer in the Bible, and it's the best way that we can pray in Scripture. So why don't we let Jesus be the one to tell us how to pray? What if we let him be our instructor this morning? Because he knows more about it than I do. Let me just check with you. How many of you know more about prayer than Jesus? Please raise your hand if you know more. Okay. So he's the best guy that we could learn from. And so we're going to take a look at what is called the Lord's Prayer. What if we let the Lord's Prayer be a pattern for our regular time of prayer? Now, some people they've balked a little bit. Well, it's not the Lord's Prayer. John 17, the long high priestly prayer. That's the Lord's Prayer. This is the disciples' prayer. Folks, I don't care what you call it. It doesn't matter to me your title. Just do it. Nike. Just do it. That's the point. Just do what Jesus said. Now, the reason why I'm going here is because this was not just a wandering Jewish rabbi that was caught off guard when he was asked by his disciples, would you teach us to pray? And he said, well, I hadn't really thought about that much, but let's do this and this. And he grabbed a few phrases and threw them on in there. No. This, in fact, a reason why I like to call it the Lord's Prayer is this. The Lord is telling me, the Lord is telling us, how he wants us to engage with him in prayer. So, radical statement number one. Here we go. If you say, Lord, and then ask him any question, and he gives you an answer, if you don't do what he tells you, don't call him Lord. You can only call him Lord if you do what he tells you. And so the disciples said, Lord, would you teach us to pray? And he said, yeah, I can do that. And so he said, here's how I want you to pray. So it's the Lord. It's the boss. It's the one who invented prayer, who is telling us, who is giving us the opportunity to pray in a manner that he wants us to pray. Amen? So, this prayer was given on two separate occasions. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13, Jesus initiates it. He's with his disciples on what's called the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And he says, okay, listen, when you fast, chapter 6, when you fast, fast like this. When you pray, pray like this. When you give, give like this. And so it's very specific instructions. It's almost like Jesus said, okay, listen, read my lips. When you pray, pray like this. He actually genuinely wants us to pray in this manner. It's not just hyperbole. He never had in mind that this prayer would stop on a kitchen plaque. He never had in mind that it would be woven somewhere on a wall and people would walk by and say, boy, doesn't that look nice? He's not interested in how it looks. He wants us to actually use it as prayer. So, even though this prayer has been, it's old, it's not hip, it's not new, it's not chic, it's old, but boy, is it good. It's old and it's been used and misused a lot. It's still the best prayer pattern we can follow. Why would I say that? Because ain't nobody better than Jesus to tell us how to do this. The fact it was given on, I said it was given on two occasions. I mentioned the first one, Matthew chapter 6. Then about 100 miles south of there, near, he gave that in Galilee, and then about 100 miles south in Jerusalem area, probably 18 months to 2 years after he gave he initiated it with the Lord's Prayer with his disciples, he was asked by his disciples. Evidently, they saw him praying, and somebody, Nathaniel, Peter, Matthew, they nudged somebody. He said, man, he's good at this. We should, you know, John's disciples John taught his disciples to pray. We should have Jesus teach us. So they nudge him and say, would you teach us to pray? I would love to watch the video of that encounter. I think, in my little mind, I think Jesus got this wry little smile on his face. Almost a smirky smile. And he said, yeah, I can do that. And then he starts saying exactly the same thing that he said a year or two earlier to the same guys. And they're taking notes on their papyri and they're saying, our Father in heaven, and then about, when you get down to about thy kingdom come, they're saying, gee, this sounds really familiar. Haven't we heard this somewhere before? Well, the fact that he told his disciples clearly once, that should mean that we do it. The fact that he repeated it when they asked him again, that should really, really, really mean that we do it. Amen? So, I know that some of you learned this prayer, probably from the King James Version, when you were a tyke. How many of you memorized this prayer before you were 10? Okay? A bunch of you, okay? So it's real familiar to us. My hope and my prayer is that it would get dusted off and it would feel brand new again. I can tell you that it's been over 40 years since the Lord pointed my nose right into this prayer and said, Dennis, if you want to pray well, pray like this. And I remember the occasion very, very clear. It's part of chapter one of my book. I remember it very, very clearly when it became life to me. And I can tell you that since then, I have prayed this prayer thousands of times. I have used this prayer as a pattern of my prayer life thousands of times. It is an artesian well. It never runs dry. It is fresh. It flows. I think one of the most significant things that we can do as believers is pray this little prayer. Jesus, would you teach me to pray? And then don't listen for new words. Listen to the old words. Let the Spirit of God, let Jesus Christ Himself in the person of His Spirit teach you how to pray. That has been one of the greatest joys of my life, is to go through that process and listen and pray as He teaches me to pray. Let's just say this together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, you'll notice that the last couple lines are not here. A couple different reasons. I ran out of space on the slide, okay? No, actually, the real reason is it's a wonderful, the last lines are wonderful. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It sings great, doesn't it? And when people sing the Lord's Prayer, for Thine is, it sings great. But the problem is chances are really very, very good that it wasn't part of Jesus' original prayer. So it's very biblical. You can pray it. It comes from, all those truths come from other parts of Scripture. But its chances are good it's not there. So this is the King James Version. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to sort of restructure it a little bit, tweak it just a little bit, and this is how I have prayed it. You can see that it's in lines, Our Father in heaven, let Your name be holy, let Your kingdom come, let Your will be done, bracket, on earth as it is in heaven. I think we can untie that on earth as it is in heaven from the third request and place it equally after all of the first three requests. Lord, let Your name be holy here on earth like it is in heaven. Let Your kingdom come here like it is there. Let Your will be done here like it is there. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but heaven isn't the problem. Earth is the problem. The problem is here. We need to conform what happens here to what's going on there. And then, give us this day our daily bread. Sounds like a throwaway line, doesn't it? Jesus, would You please pass the toast? Yeah, give us, but I'm telling you what, that is a tremendously powerful line in this prayer. And forgive us as we forgive our debtors. I won't be able to amplify it a lot here in this message, but I want to suggest to you that the most powerful and perhaps the most scary word of this entire prayer is in that line. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. God, would you forgive me because I need Your forgiveness? And use my forgiveness of other people as the standard of Your forgiveness for me. That's what that word as means. Here's what I want to say about that. There are seven different places in Scripture, in the Gospels, all red letters, all stated by Jesus, seven different times when Jesus makes this truth known. I don't understand it all, but I know this. When it comes to forgiving other people, Jesus is real, real serious. He is serious about us granting forgiveness to other people. And then, lead us not into temptation. That's the line that when people have opportunity to ask me questions about it, that's the line that I get asked most about. It seems like Jesus is saying, you better pray this way, or God wants to tempt you. He wants to lead you into temptation. And if you better pray just right so that you can be escape his temptation. That's not it at all. First of all, notice that the primary request is lead us. I need his leadership. And again, I won't be able to amplify it here in this morning, but what this line does is it tells us that true prayer is not seeking to twist God's arm to get him to do something that he doesn't want to do, but rather agreeing with him, lining our heart up with his truth so that he can get us to do what he wants. A friend of mine was doing a prayer conference, and a woman came up to her at the end of the conference and said, I came here wanting to know how to talk to God so that I could get God to do what I wanted him to do. I'm leaving here having learned how to listen to God so that he can get me to do what he wants me to do. Do you see the 180 of that? It's just exactly the opposite. Okay? And then deliver us from the evil one. Besides the structuring, what I've done here is I have changed the word in the last line, deliver us not simply from evil, but the evil one. And I don't understand why the King James translators translated it evil, but clearly it is, when you look at the original language, it's deliver us from the evil one. It has an article in there. And then the other thing that I've done is this. I've changed the first line to make it, again, more consistent with the way I think it's supposed to be. Let your name be holy rather than hallowed be thy name. The phrase hallowed be thy name does not really come across like it's a request, does it? It comes across more like it's a statement of praise. Now, I am all for statements of praise. We should be glorious worshipers, fanatical praisers. Amen? Yeah, we should worship him and praise him well in our walk, in our worship, in our words, in every way. But that's not what this line is saying. This line is saying, okay, here. If Jesus walked through that door right now and came on over here and we all said, woohoo, woo! Glory, he'd blow us away, etc. His glory is veiled, okay? So he came on over, and we said, hi, Jesus, we're talking about prayer, we're talking about the Lord's Prayer here. Could you tell us what are your prayer requests? I honestly, genuinely think that he would say two things. First of all, I think he would say, well, thank you. I don't get that question very often. I oftentimes hear other people, when they're praying, ask other people what their prayer requests are, but I very rarely hear them ask me what my prayer requests are. Might be a good pattern. The second thing I think he would say is this. My first request is that you would join me in praying that my Father's name would be seen as holy here on earth like it is in heaven. I could go on and on that particular thought. Just grab it, okay? Jesus' first and most important prayer request is that we would pray that the Father in heaven would be known on earth for who he actually is, that the twisted, perverted ideas that people have and that I have of God would be corrected. He longs to be known for who he really is. That's what is happening in this line. So let me ask you, this is audience participation time. What is the repeated pronoun of the first portion of this prayer? It happens three times. If you're under 20, I want you to answer that question. The old guys just go, phew! Okay, raise your hand if you're under 20. Come on. Nobody wants. Okay, you guys that are with your hands up here, what's the repeated pronoun? Three times. Do, 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 do. Your, okay? Your name, your kingdom, your will, okay? All right, if you're over 20, what is the repeated pronoun of the second portion of this prayer? It has two letters in it. The first one is you. Got to help these old folks, okay? And what's the repeated pronoun of the first portion has the noun that follows it is very significant. Your name, your kingdom, your will. The verbs related to the pronoun of the second half are very important. Give us, forgive us, lead us, deliver us. Now, I haven't changed anything of those 14 words. So my next question is this: how many requests are in the Lord's Prayer? How many things does he tell us to pray about? Oh, there's a hint. There are seven. Seven. And the first one, again, the first one is, Lord, let your name be holy here like it is there. Now, some people who are smarter than I am say there are six because they join the last two together. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. They join those two together. That's fine. I don't have a concern about that. I think it's just helpful to parse them out a bit there. Okay? So of these words, here is the backbone of the Lord's Prayer. Say these words with me, please. Your name, your kingdom, your will, give us, forgive us, lead us, deliver us. It was a big revelation when I was on my knees praying this through soon after the Lord pointed my nose right into it, the Lord's Prayer, and said, Dennis, if you want to pray well, pray like this. I was on my knees praying, and I remember thinking, whoa, look at that. There is a your half and an us half. And the your half is first. Why, I just thought that prayer was about the us half. Would you give me and forgive me and lead me? God, this is what, isn't, aren't you there for me personally? Isn't that your primary purpose in all of life's existence? No. We are there for him. People, the your half comes before the us half. And in fact, remember in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, same chapter, next to last verse, Jesus says, but you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You pray the your half, and I'll take care of the us half, is in essence what he's saying. The your half primarily reflects God's desires, God's heart. The us half reflects our needs. Now, from here on out, in the next 3 hours of what I have for this sermon, okay, maybe not 3 hours, when I'm sitting down, I'll be praying. When I'm standing up, I'm preaching, okay? I want to pray this. I don't want to just preach this. And so you're welcome to keep your eyes open. In fact, I would encourage you to keep your eyes open, look at the screen, and et cetera. As I go through, I'm just gonna pray this. And I want to invite you to do the same thing. Right now, I'm just going to pray these 14 words. I encourage you to do the same. Father, your name. Not my name. Lord, your name is worthy. Your name is worthy of all honor, glory, power. If people knew your character, if people knew your nature, if people knew your attributes, they would fall in love with you. Lord, let your name be holy, set aside, distinct, unmistakably different than all of the other so-called gods in our world. Your name. Father, your kingdom. You say that your kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. God, that's what we need. That's what Hawkinson needs. That's what I need in my life. That's what my family needs, is righteousness, peace, and joy. Holy Spirit, righteousness, peace, and joy. Would you increase that in my life? Increase that in our life, I pray. And Father, your will. God, would you line my will up with your will? God, correct me. Slap my wrists when I'm trying to line your will up with my will. And help me line my will up with your will. You've said very clearly what your will is. You said that your will is that by doing good, we would silence the foolish talk of people. Help us to know what is good and give us grace to do what is good. You said that your will is that we would not be engaged in sexual immorality. Would you keep us pure sexually, Lord? Would you help us to guard our eyes and our actions in such a way that we would present ourselves, the members of our body, as living sacrifices to you? That's what you desire. That's what your will is. Yes, Lord, whenever you give us a command, it's clear that that's your will. So we ask, God, that you would allow us to walk in humility. God, help us to walk in love. Help us to walk in honesty. Your will. Again, God, I'm blown away when Jesus, just before he was on the cross, when he was in the garden, facing the reality of his own terrible crucifixion, he said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Give me that kind of heart, Lord. No matter what difficult circumstance I may be facing, help me to have that perspective, not my will, but your will be done. And Lord, we ask that you would give us that which we need on a daily basis. Today, you are my supplier. There is no one better to supply what I have need of than you. Would you give me today that which I need, certainly in the physical realm, but far beyond that, God, in the non-physical realm. Give us what we need. God, give us grace so that we can respond to various people in a way that you want us to. Give us awareness. Give us discernment. Give us your heart for people, Lord. And Lord, ultimately, I ask that you would give us the bread of heaven. Give us more of yourself. Would you give us more of Jesus today? Give us more of his character, more of his heart. Give us more of Jesus today, I pray. And then also, Lord, forgive me, forgive us of our sin, the debt that we owe you. Forgive us, Lord, as we forgive others. Lord, here we are, this crazy, bold, scary line. Father, use My forgiveness of those who sin against me, my forgiveness of those who treat me badly, poorly, use my forgiveness of them as the way you forgive me. Oh Lord, help me to treat granting forgiveness of others as seriously as you do. And Lord, I am so grateful for how you have led me over the years. You've led me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. You've led me by your Spirit. There have been times when I didn't know what your will was, but you showed it to me. And there were other times when I still didn't know what your will was, when I needed to make a decision, but as I look back in the rearview mirror, I see that you did lead me. And I'm very, very grateful for your leadership. Thank you. And then, Lord, deliver me, deliver us from the evil one and all of his schemes. Don't let his plans be fulfilled. Let them be frustrated, Lord. Foul up his plans for us and fulfill your plans for us. We submit ourselves to you as people who want to do your will because we're convinced that your will is better than ours. So deliver us from the evil one and all of his schemes, I pray. Amen. Now that amen is not the end of the sermon. Okay? So here is this prayer as I've laid it out again. Some of you take pictures instead of taking notes. This would be a great thing to take a picture of if you'd like to. You'll see this again. But what I want to do now is take a look just at the first portion, the first three requests. And there's different ways that I have prayed this, and I just want to offer them to you. So again, I'm going to sit down. You can listen to me, but more important than you listening to me is you praying. All right? Father, we want your name to be holy here on earth like it is in heaven. Oops, I got to stand up for a minute. On earth as it is in heaven, you can direct this prayer to all kinds of places and people. This is a traveling prayer. You can point this prayer at various people. You can point this prayer for a state. You can point this prayer for a nation. You can point this prayer for a grandchild. This prayer is adaptable to many different places and people. As I pray it, I was pondering this morning, I'm going to pray it for myself and for other folks, but I'm also going to pray it specifically for our youngest son and his family who live in Spokane. We don't get to see them as much as we get to see the other kids, and so they're on my heart today. So, Father, I want to ask that your name would be holy there in Spokane to Joe and Jocelyn and those three precious kids. Father, reveal yourself more the way you actually are to them. Show them your holiness. Let your name, your character, your reputation be holy to Joe and Jocelyn and those three kids. Kingdom, come. Come there to their household. Start as a little seed, as a little word, but grow into a big tree. God, I pray that the kingdom of God would dominate their thinking. I pray that the righteousness, the peace, the joy that you offer as in your kingdom would invade their thinking. It would be like a little seed, a mustard seed that would grow and take over everything. It would be like a little leaven that would get into a lump of dough and permeate everything. Kingdom, come and permeate the thinking of Sophia, of Reese, of Everly, Lord. Also, God, I pray that your will would be accomplished in them and through them, Lord. Let your will be accomplished, God. The things that are clear in your word, let them hear them and respond well to them. And then, Lord, I pray that your name would be holy through me. I pray that your kingdom would come through me. I pray that your will would be done through me. Thank you that you've invited me, given me the opportunity, given me the responsibility to be on your team, to see more of your holiness here, more of your kingdom here, more of your will be accomplished here. So God, I'm not only volunteering, I'm asking, let me be part of the process of your kingdom coming to this earth, of your will being done, of your name being holy. So, Lord, I ask that you would let your name be holy to me so that it would be holy through me. God, increase my awareness of who you are. Increase my awareness of the glory, the splendor of your majesty, so that that holiness can shine through me and impact other people. God, I'm praying that for Joe especially, Lord. Let your name be more and more honored and magnified in him and through him to his family. And Lord, your kingdom, God, I pray that your kingdom, God, I'm not just asking that your kingdom would come down and plop over there. I'm asking that your kingdom would come and grow in me. God, I'm asking that the kingdom of God would become more and more of a reality in my heart, so that when I go there, your kingdom goes there. Kingdom of God, come in me and come flow through me. And then I'm asking that the will of God would be done by me, that I would be first in line. I would elbow other people out of the line so that I could be first to do your will, as it were. God, let your will be done by me so that it is done through me. Now, I want to invite you to not listen to my prayer, but to just engage in prayer. You go ahead and pray. I think this is a good slide to pray from. So it has the first three things there. Just go ahead and take some time, maybe 30 seconds or a minute or so. So you better get on it quick. Not going to be long. Okay, go. Please wrap that up soon. Now, there are two things that I'm going to share with you this morning that I have not heard anybody else share. I don't want that to sound weird, but I have not found anybody else who's written on the Lord's Prayer say these two things. One of them is this right here. I've never heard anybody else say, pray that these things would be real to you, in you, that you would do these things so that it can flow through you. Maybe they have, but I haven't heard that. So my point is, this is something that would be really good for you to grab hold of. Okay? The second one I'll share with you in a bit. But now I want to turn to the second portion of the prayer, the second four requests, give us, forgive us, lead us, deliver us. And I'm going to pray these as well, but I want you just to see a one-word description of each of these lines, okay? Give us this day our daily bread. That's provision. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's pardon. Lead us, not into temptation. That's direction. And deliver us from the evil one. That's protection. I want to suggest to you that every need that you have ever had in your life is somehow contained in one of these four statements, really one of these four words: provision, pardon, direction, protection. This is what we need. I've thrown out to other people, if you can think of a request that somehow doesn't fall under these things, please talk to me, because I've pondered it for years and years, I don't know of another one. So when you pray for other people, okay, if David is asked to pray for someone who calls in on the prayer chain or after a service, he can pray, God, I want to ask you, he can just sort it through and say, that seems like pardon to me. That seems like direction to me. God, I want to ask that you would lead them. He can pray right from the Lord's Prayer. Okay? So I'm going to, again, pray. You're welcome to leave your eyes open, close them, take notes, whatever you'd like to do. Pray along with me. Say amen as I pray. Father, today I'm very grateful that you told us that you want us to pray that you would give us that which we need on a daily basis. Father, when I come and ask you to give me, I'm not demanding anything. I'm just triggering that which you want to give me in the first place. Lord, I'm not able to take it from you. I'm not able to demand it from you. I just simply come like I've come many other times before, as empty-handed as I've been before, and say, would you give me today that which I need? And Lord, this bread that you talk about, yeah, it's not only physical bread. It's those other things as well that I need so much more than physical bread. But more than anything else, I ask you to give me more of your Son. Let me today have more of Jesus, be more like Jesus than I was yesterday. Increase my ability to reflect the nature, the character of Jesus Christ. Give me that which I need. And Lord, I want to ask that you would forgive me like I forgive others. Father, don't let me think that I don't need any forgiveness, and don't let me think that I'm unforgivable. But grant me the forgiveness that I need, Lord, and let forgiveness flow from me to other people so that your forgiveness can flow to me. And then, Lord, lead me. I'm so grateful for the way that you've led me along the way in my life, Lord. Lead me today into situations and circumstances that would bless other people. Lead me today to the people that you want me to interact with. Lead me today in a righteous path. Keep me from unrighteous paths. Keep me from evil people. And lead me in a good path, and let me follow you well, I pray. And then, Lord, again, I just simply need your deliverance. I don't have it in myself to defeat the evil one, but you have defeated him, and I get to walk in your victory. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would deliver me from the evil one and his schemes, Lord. So that's some of the way that I've prayed this over the years. Now, the second thing that I want to show you, and the last thing that I want to show you today, that, again, I've not heard anybody else when they teach on the Lord's Prayer, when I read about the Lord's Prayer, their teaching and such, have talked about this. So this is, again, a unique thing. And that is this, that there is not, well, let me say it differently. There is a clear relationship between the first half and the second half of this prayer. You can pray this prayer right from Our Father which art in heaven, let your name be holy, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us. Lead us. Deliver us. You can pray each of those seven requests. But I've found that when I start with the second half, give us this day our daily bread, I can go back to the first half. There was a time when I was praying this. I was literally moving as I did. I would pray, let your name be holy on earth like it is in heaven. I would move over here, let your name be, or let your kingdom come. I'd move over here, let your will be done. And then when I got to give us, I don't know why I did this, but I said, God, give me that which I need today so that your name will be holy through me. Give me what I need today so that your kingdom would come in me and through me. Give me what I need today so that I would be accomplishing your will. This little word, so that, became so important to me, it has dominated my praying of this prayer. So here we go. What happened there? Dave, can you go around behind the screen and turn that so that right side up? I don't know what happened. In the translation, somehow, okay? But you'll never forget it now, will you? Give us this day our daily bread so that. That's what that says. I know. We turned it upside down so you could read it because you're down here reading up. I don't know why. Okay. Give us this day our daily bread so that your name could be seen as holy, etc. Praying from a line on the left side, any one of the four lines on the left side, adding the word so that, and then praying any line on the right side, gives you a dynamic way of praying this prayer that can literally take you for the rest of your life. So, for example, lead us not into temptation, the third line. I don't think that Jesus had in mind that we would simply put a period at the end of those last four lines. God, give me what I need today, period. Forgive me, period. Lead me, period. Deliver me, period. I think he had in mind, you see, remember I said there was an us half? There is, but I sort of fudged. The us half is not really about us. It's still about him. So God, give me that which I need today. Forgive me. Deliver me. Lead me so that your name, your kingdom, your will. Do you see that? Do you see that? Okay. I trust that you'll grab hold of this and run with it. Okay. Now, the other thing that you can do with this is you can start with the first three lines. You can say, Lord, what do you do, man? I don't know what happened. Okay. But you can start with the first three lines. Lord, let your name be holy on earth as it is in heaven, in me, etc., by giving me that which I need. God, let your kingdom come by delivering me from the evil one. Okay? Any one of the first three lines, by, and any one of the last three lines. I want to back this up a notch here and invite you to pray this. Again, that's so that, you know, turn that so that around. I just want you to take, and you don't have to go through all the way through this. For me, when I do this, it takes a longer period of time than what we have right now. So just take one line on the left. Don't all start at the top. Okay, one line on the left. Put the so that in there, and then pray a line, one line on the right. One, two, three, go. Just a few more seconds here. Good. Thank you. Let me interrupt you again. Sometimes I feel like I have the spiritual gift of interruption. So as you use the Lord's Prayer as a pattern for your own personal time of prayer, I want to encourage you to make good use of that word "so that," those words "so that," and that word "by." So here we are again, the last slide here. And I want you now, by the way, did I tell you this was going to be on the test? Did I forget to mention that? Well, now, this is the test right here. But no, the real test will not come this morning, but there will be a test. There will be a test. There'll be a test for you to implement this kind of praying on a regular basis. But here it is, folks. When you get to heaven and Jesus says, "How'd you do with that prayer that I gave you?" I want you to be able to say, "I think I wore it out, Jesus. I think I used it a lot." Okay? If you can find a better way to pray, then do it. But you can't. You see, I don't have any authority to tell you how to pray. I have a responsibility to tell you that the one who has authority to tell you how to pray has told you how to pray. Amen? So just take a minute, and now this will give you a little bit longer. About 2 minutes or so, I just simply want to ask you to take this prayer and you pray it through in any manner that you feel is appropriate right now, okay? Just take a couple minutes and pray. It's about a minute, about one more minute. Just a few more seconds. I'm grateful for Sean and the elders and their wisdom in saying, "Hey, this summer, let's look at these different spiritual disciplines." I'm very thankful for the privilege I've had the last couple of weeks to come and share with you about biblical meditation and prayer here. If you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. John 13:17. If you know these, it's not the knowing of it, is not the blessing is not in the knowing. The blessing is in the doing. One of the tremendous blessings of my life is that years and years ago, 44 whatever it was years ago, God grabbed a young pastor by the nape of the neck and said, here, you want to pray? Do it like this. And he gave me grace to pray that way. Final thing I want to mention is I rarely go through the entire prayer in a morning when I pray, okay? Most of the time I grab one line and pray that. So don't feel guilty. In fact, don't feel guilty at all about it, okay? but just grab a line and pray it. Next day, grab a different line and pray it and see how that works, and let's talk in about 50 years. Sound good? Worship team, come on up. Let's wrap this up.